some fun. But it don't make no sense, girl, when you're fun to rid everyone. I ain't trying to be your daddy. I ain't trying to be your boss. I want to be a hoochie coochie man. So how much that love costs? You made me do things I never done. Like drove me crazy. You took the ride for fun.
Greetings, welcome to Confessing the Blues. I'm your host, Jim Ange Anderson. On today's show, we have rising star, guitarist, singer, songwriter, Jemiah Rogers. Let's roll.
Woman, I'm not nice. I know you like the good of a fight. But those days gonna be over when I put you on the Delta flight. There's nothing you can make me do that made me want to put it with you. One thing about my mama, she ain't raised no fool. What am I gonna do with a pretty little girl like you? I said, how am I gonna handle a mean little girl like you? You got the wraps around your finger, and you say it's nothing I can do. One thing I'ma tell you, girl, I ain't no fool, girl, I'm foolproof. Girl,
Jemiah Rogers, welcome to the Farmhouse Studio.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's been a while since I've seen you. You've grown a little bit.
A lot of bit.
Yeah, yeah. But it's good to see
a young man playing
the blues.
Yes, sir.
Keeping the music alive. So you have some exciting news. You got a brand new record out.
Brand new record. Fresh off the grill. 10 original tracks, all written by me. Blues, funk, rock, reggae. All mixed in a pot.
Okay, so what's the name of the record?
Blue Superman.
Excellent.
Yes, sir.
Did you record it locally?
Actually, I did in Chicago at this place called Rat Tracks Studios. Mm-hmm. Did it about in a day. A lot of rehearsing before preparation, but completed it all in a day. A lot of hard work and stuff.
And is your regular band on the record? Or?
Actually, no. It's me and my dad. He's playing bass and I'm playing guitar and drums.
Oh, really?
And vocals, yes.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Self-produced and it's self-released. It's
your own
record label.
Yes, sir.
And just talk about some of the songs on there. You said there's some variety of styles. You have some blues, rock.
Yes, blues. Blue Superman. What a title track.
Yeah.
It's all about Blue Superman. Talking about how I'm ready to get the torch and carry and run with it.
Blue Superman, gonna play these blues. I'm young and I'm strong, I must confess, but there's one thing that I don't miss: dancing and party tonight. The empty dance floor is my kryptonite.
Second track, Bourbon Street Bounce. Been to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very nice place. I like it a lot.
So that's got a bit of a New Orleans flavor to it.
Yep. Uh-huh. About, Three is Gone Too Long. It's, that song is pretty much about a relationship, blues relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave that there. That's,
well, it seems that relationship's
gone too long. Gone
right,
too
right.
Long. Yeah. For a Blues Mama. That's one of my favorites. I particularly wrote that myself.
Okay.
And it's about a girl, a blues mama.
Okay.
Kind of like what I like to see. We'll be right back. 5 is Foolproof. Pretty much talking about attitude, about how relationship wise, how you feel being played, or you know, just overcoming how you want to get over a relationship, being and talking and troubles and all that.
Okay.
6, parental advice. It's a parental advice. What my mom and my daddy told me when I was younger, and how I can look back and see how that relates to where I am now. 7 is work. That's getting up every day, blues,
mm-hmm.
giving up every day, going to clock in job, making money, do what you got to do to survive day to day. 8, the boy next door. That's something me and my pops put together. It's kind of, I wouldn't say stereotypical story, but it's a story inside the song. Kind of relates to me, kind of doesn't, but
okay.
That's a story inside itself. 9, this one is like, Let the Tears Fall. That's the reggae song. We okay. always try to switch it up a little bit, put a different little flavor in there. That's a reggae song. And 10 is Don't Make Me Famous. That song is a very important song, and it's the last song on the CD, which is why we put it as a very important message. Don't make me famous, make me rich.
I like it.
Yep. So that's all of 10.
So maybe talk a bit about your band, too. I mean, who's in your band?
My band, I have my pops. Mm-hmm. I always have my pops with me playing bass. And then I have a drummer named Deontay Skinner, based out of Chicago. Really really nice on the blues scene. I don't know his age exactly, in his 20s, but I got him with me. Just 3-piece.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the trio puts a lot of work on you, right?
A lot of work I like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like control.
You got to be good to front a trio.
Yes, sir.
Know?
Yes, sir.
Because that's it.
Right? Yeah, it is. Yep.
You know, you can't hide behind the horn section.
Can't. Right? No keyboard player. Sometimes I like to work with a keyboard player. Sometimes I don't. Depends on what kind of gig it is.
Right.
But I like to make my own chords and put them on top of the bass line. So, yeah. It's real fun working as a 3-piece. And then I get, like you said, it's control. I get to tell them what I want, when I want it, how I want it, and then
sure.
Yeah,
so the band name officially is just the
Jemiah Rogers Band.
Okay, because yep. When I met you a few years ago, you had some younger guys, and it was
the Rare Machine.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. They still good. Actually, my drummer, they're both still in school. They still doing good. Really, it was just time for me to move up. I'm 22 now.
Okay,
so I'm ready to start playing in these clubs.
Right.
These festivals and everything. I can't really, you know, bring them in with me. So I got my older band going on. So that's what it is now.
And I'm sure, you know, a lot of people ask you your age. And, I don't know if you get tired of it, but it's important now because uh-huh. you can get into the clubs.
Right,
and I think
right,
it's also
right.
a testament to what you've accomplished at
yes,
this
sir.
At
yes,
this
sir.
Early age.
Yeah.
You know?
Being 22. And then at the same time, not being fresh on the scene.
Right.
Like I've been to these clubs, I've been to the Kingston Mines, I've been to Legends, I've been to Blues on Halsted, and I know these people. They're my family.
Right.
Really. So it's not like I'm just now touching the scene. I'm just now 22.
Sure.
So
sure.
I can get in the clubs now.
You got a head start.
Right. Yeah. A good head start.
Well, you talked about Buddy Guy's Legends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that Buddy has always been, I mean, when I was coming up,
mm-hmm.
he's probably 25 years older than me or something like that. He was great to me, and he's always been good to younger musicians,
right.
And have you spoken with him? Has he given you any advice? Or?
Not recently.
Yeah.
But I will say some years back, he did allow me to get on his stage and play with him.
Yeah.
And it was a fun time.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Ever since then, we've been good.
You just think about all the people who, you know, who he's played with or who has played with him.
A list of people,
you know.
Yeah.
So
I'm just glad to be one of them people.
Exactly. Right. You know, so to be in that group,
right.
You know, that's yeah. excellent. Well, cool. Well, back to the record, the recording process. So you and your dad laid down the rhythms and you came back with guitar. Is that?
The process is really, it's really up and down. You really can't put an outline format
okay.
on how you really gonna write and record a song. Sometimes the words come first, sometimes the music come first. It's really how you feel it.
Yeah.
Most of the times it was music, laying down a pocket, laying the melody down for a bass line, and then if we have words, someday written down, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then we'll try to fit it in and put a melody to it. And that's how we came out and did it. We took our time on it. We didn't rush it.
Mm-hmm.
Let it happen organically.
Great.
And after that, we just went into the studio and made magic happen.
Okay. And so as far as, so sometimes you're writing in the studio and sometimes you write in advance. I mean,
it's all in advance. We never go into the studio trying to, you know, brainstorm. Because then once you go in the studio, it's time to work. You know what I'm saying? You're paying for what you're doing.
The clock is ticking.
Exactly. Yep. Every minute count.
Right.
So we wanted to know what we're doing before we go in and have a game plan. That's what we did.
So can you talk a little bit about the songwriting process? Do ideas just come to you, or you work on it? Or
That comes with taking your time. You don't want to put a time limit on your creation.
Right.
You want to make sure you're taking your time. I want to go into that, but I mean, you want to make sure you're not repeating anything. You want to make sure some of your things are similar and at the same time sound different to make sure that is your signature on there.
Right.
I mean, we didn't care too much about mess ups. It was natural mess ups, you know what
I'm
saying?
Right, right. So, well, it keeps it real, I think.
Right,
too.
Right. So you don't want to go back and keep overdubbing, you know, trying to make sure you get every little thing out of there. It's natural.
Right.
It's my sound. So that's why we kept it and took our time and did it the thing.
That's interesting that you say take your time. When I was coming up in the music, and you probably heard the older guys, take your time, son.
Take your time.
So I actually wrote a song about that.
Yeah.
Take your time, because, you know, that's what I would hear, you know. And at your young age to have that attitude, that's a pretty
taught.
Good thing.
Yeah.
You've been listening to your teachers.
Yep.
So talking about teachers, and obviously your father is a big impact.
Yeah.
How about other
on the Chicago scene?
Yeah.
Number two would be Mike Willer.
Oh, Mike's great.
He plays a big part in my career, and I really appreciate everything he's done.
And that's in terms of musically as well
as
music business and
everything on the scene, putting me with people. He's actually the person that put me with my drummer, Deontay Skinner.
Okay.
So ever since then, we've been talking, connecting. He's been putting me on the blues gang, on the blues scene. So that's somebody that's on my team that I really appreciate.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
And he's a great guitar player.
Oh, yeah. And a singer.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else that you could mention who's been helpful or maybe that you look up to and would maybe aspire?
I mean, I look up to a lot of guitarists, but on the scene, there's a lot of up and down. If I catch somebody, I see them.
Right.
Know. But as far as mentoring and Mike Willer.
Gotcha. So you... Obviously, you play drums, too.
Yeah. I've been playing since I was three.
Three?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you got kind of a late start there, huh?
So
then how long have you been playing the guitar? Yeah.
I'm 22. I've been playing, I can say, for 12 to 13 years now. I touched the guitar now. I touched the guitar when I was small, but I never really got into actually performing it until I was about 9, 10, 11, 12.
Okay. Do you remember your first gig?
My first official gig?
First official gig.
I mean, I always been playing, like, when I got on the scene, the way to do it is to go to the open mic.
Sure.
Go to the open mics, expose yourself to the crowd, expose yourself to being on a bandstand, playing in front of the band. But I did that for some time until I got the opportunity to play at the Chicago Music Awards, which is it's an award show that takes place in Chicago every year. In Chicago.
Yeah.
Basically focusing on Chicago artists. I've won Most Talented Kid under, 12, 13 for about 4 consecutive years.
Wow, yeah.
And they gave me the opportunity to perform on stage. And I did, and I played Voodoo Child.
Excellent.
For my guitar songs, and they loved it a lot. And I did the video is actually still on YouTube. I had to been about 9, 10 ish in my white vest and suit and looking good with my clean cut. But that was my real official put me on the stage type thing.
That's a good start.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And how did it feel at that young age to win an award? I mean, did that
honestly
help you get confidence and
Honestly.
Yeah,
I mean, at the same time, I didn't know what was going on half the time, half of my mind. I'm like,
sure.
I'm at an award show. I'm winning awards. I'm getting ready to play on stage. But at the same time, looking back at it now, I never knew who was there, who I'm performing for, why I'm performing. I'm at a Chicago Music Awards. It's like all these official artists here, and I'm playing for them. But being there at 9, 10, 11, you know,
you're right,
I'm just on stage getting ready to play my song.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a real important stepping stone for my life. Yeah.
And it introduced you to a lot of people.
A lot of people.
In Chicago. So that's wow. That's pretty cool. So going back to the beginning, you know, talking about playing drums at age 3. So music in the household, your musical family.
That's where I started, sir. My pops is actually the blues guitarist in the family. He's the one that exposed me to everything. Being in the house full of music, he had a band that practiced in the basement.
Right.
So with that comes all the instruments that, you know, that's the playground for me.
Yeah.
So I'm going downstairs, I'm picking on strings, I'm tapping on pianos, and I pick up sticks, and I'm, you know, I'm playing on drums. And one thing led to another. My pops needed a drummer, so he taught me the pocket, the straight 2/4 and everything, the shuffle, everything I needed to know to back up a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So since that point, he took me to the open mics. I started going playing for parties and banquets and nursing homes. Everything. Outdoor festivals, everything. That's when I started getting recognition in the newspaper. Also, I had a CD. That's when my first CD actually came out with him, and I was playing drums. It's called In the Pocket.
Okay.
That CD is on CD Baby. That's old CD. But that's when I first started.
Was that original music on that first CD, too? Or
it's some covers. I think it was one original song or no.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't singing. It was on my pops.
Okay.
I was just playing drums.
Yeah.
And then after that, that's when I came and started doing my guitar and singing thing.
What was the attraction to moving from drums, attraction to the guitar?
It was all my pops.
Yeah.
It's like, it's time for you to come up behind that drum set, put a microphone in your face, and put a guitar in your hands.
And as far as being a drummer and a guitar player, I mean, how do you think that impacts your guitar playing?
It's a gift. It actually opens up another side of, you know, technique, should I say. Rhythmic technique. Once you're a drummer, you get all these different types of rhythm and syncopation that I'm looking for. That plays a part in my soloing. It plays a part in my rhythm playing. It plays a part in everything, in my whole musical thought.
Sure.
So I say, yeah.
Okay, and what about any sort of influences? I mean, what guitarists do you like to listen to,
I listen to everybody.
Right.
Hendrix, of course.
Yeah.
Freddie King, blues. If I'm listening to rock, I like Red Hot Chili Peppers. I like Primus. I like, it's so much of a list. Like Gary Clark Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Prince.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of old school. James Brown.
Sure.
If I'm listening to some more guitars, I'd say B.B. King, Buddy Guy, of course. Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf. Mm-hmm. I like a lot of Delta Blues.
Okay.
Just a different
everything.
One.
Yeah, I mean, Louis Armstrong said there's two kinds of music, good music and bad music.
It's basically.
You know? Basically. And you're listening to good music.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know?
Yeah.
That's excellent. So over the years, you've done a number of shows. Can you talk about any sort of highlights of you know, you mentioned sharing the stage with Buddy Guy. Any other sort of highlights of some interesting shows you've done?
I mean, highlights. I mean, I have stories.
But, do tell.
I mean, a while back, I can't remember the year, but I know the month was around January. The summer was wintertime. It was around the time they was doing the Experience Hendrix concert.
Sure.
And one connect to another. Stan Skibbe.
I know Stan. Yeah.
Stan Skibbe. That's another mentor back when I was a small child at La Rosa's. You ever heard of La Rosa's?
Yeah,
in Hammond, Indiana.
Hammond,
that was another open
Biscuit.
Mic. Yes, sir. Right, Biscuit in the mix, Jimmy Jam.
Mm-hmm.
That's mentors. That's all my blues family. The ones I started when I was small. That's who brought me up. That's who brought me up. So, to the Experience Hendrix concert. Stan Skibbe knows a couple people that was inside. I went and took got in through the back door.
Right.
Living Color playing Power of Soul. I'm like, this is where I need to be.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I'm in the right place. So we in Johnny Lane, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Billy Cox, I can't remember Stevie Ray Vaughan's drummer name, but is the people I'm around. So I go in, I'm shaking hands. I go in, I'm walking with my pops, I'm walking with my moms, we taking pictures. Robert Randolph.
Yeah.
Just some more people. Ernie Isley. Mm-hmm. Some more people here. Going in the green room. They got a little imp sitting in the corner. I go in, I plug him. My pops said, plug him the top, man. I'm playing some licks. People walking in and out. I don't know what's going on. I'm just playing. Some conversations outside. Later on, 5 minutes later, get your guitar, go downstairs, go and tune it up. You get ready to go play Red House with Billy Cox, close out the show.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
So I do it. I go out there, and like, massive people, massive audience. Happened all fast. I did it, took my solo, stepped out front, and I took what's mine. And then after that, it was a good, it was a great night. Great night. Billy Cox is a cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It doesn't get much deeper than that, right?
Wow. No.
Wow, so that's a pretty good story.
That's a highlight. That's a highlight.
Yeah. Well, and do you think there might be any opportunities to? Because I know when they go regionally with that tour, they sometimes bring in some local artists.
Right, right. So, eventually, yeah. I think I'm on the list. I don't know when. I don't know where. But
you got those connections. That could be a goal.
I'm just waiting.
Yeah. Excellent. Any other interesting stories like that? It's hard to top that one.
Right. That's the number one. That's the number one.
Yeah.
But other than that, I just been playing. I had the chance to travel to Amsterdam. I had the chance to travel to Canada, play over there. A few parts of Canada, Montreal, Ottawa. And I got the chance to meet some other different bands. I played with this band called Justin Saladino Band, somewhere around my age, doing the blues too. So that's somebody I got to connect with out there and doing the same thing. It's real cool.
Can you talk about your experience in Amsterdam? That was were you playing clubs or festivals?
It was a festival. The D Hoogeven and the D Tambora, two festivals I did go out there to play. Real, real good with John Primer. That's just one name that popped out, but it was a list of people that came out. And I think I spent the weekend out there. It was a real fun weekend, and they liked me.
What do you think about the audiences in Europe?
They like the blues a lot.
Yeah, right.
A lot.
It almost seems like in Chicago sometimes, like, there's so much good music that people get used to it.
Right,
they could be a legend on stage, and they're just shooting pool and watching the game. But when you go to Europe,
it's like times 10, really.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say it's not as natural as it is out there. As it is in Chicago, should I say.
Mm-hmm.
They like it a lot. They like the originality of the blues out there.
Right.
So they appreciate it a lot more.
So you hope to get
back? Oh, yeah, to go back. Yeah.
Excellent. Like okay. How about any other travels that inside Canada?
Not as far as those two, but always I've been to Memphis. I've been to Arkansas. I've been to...
Did you play Beale Street in Memphis?
Yeah, a couple of times. I did. I went out there to play for the International Blues Challenge a while back with my with the Red Machine.
Okay.
And that's when I had won to go out there.
Right.
So I played at Stax. What was the Stax the club? I don't know if that's the actual name of it, but Stax Club. We played in there, the Purple Haze Club. Just we went on the street and just played whenever we could.
Nice. I wish Chicago had a strip like that.
It'll be packed.
Yeah. I mean, it's just music. You go, and I think you can go from one club to another.
With
a wristband or something.
Right.
So
live music all the time. It's beautiful.
Well, you know, I think that your age it's wonderful that you're playing the blues, because I know I had this discussion with a lot of people, and they say, "Well, the blues is dying, and the blues is dinosaur music, and I disagree. I think it's alive and well, and especially seeing guys like you.
That's why I need him to hear my CD. This blues is from a 22-year-old's perspective.
Right.
Who's been playing blues since he was 3, 4, 5. You know, this is not nothing new. I've been doing this.
Right.
This is why. I just want him to hear the CD.
It's
organic. It's everything.
And the music is organic, so it's perfect that you have that approach to it.
Yeah,
you know, I hate to see a CD where there's all these layers and layers, and it takes the emotion,
it takes away,
and the
right,
feel,
right, right,
you know,
right,
and the music is about feel.
Yes, emotion. Sir, that's blues.
Talk about your guitar playing.
As far as what?
Well, you know, where do you find inspiration? Or you practice every day? You know, your relationship with your guitar.
Oh, my relationship. Yeah. I love my baby. But yeah. I try to practice every day. I wouldn't say I do, but I mean, if I do hear something or if I find a lick, that comes from listening to people. That comes from listening to every different type of genre.
Right.
Jazz, blues, funk, R&B. It's always something you could pull from each kind of genre. And once you do that, mix it all together. Put it in, you know, I put it in blues.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Some people might put it in rock, you know, all the different licks they got. As far as the approach, it's really natural. I mean, I really wouldn't try to, force anything.
Yeah. What kind of guitar do you play?
Fender.
Yeah.
Fender Strat.
Okay.
Yeah. I play a lot of different ones. I have an Epiphone.
Mm-hmm.
I have I got a Flying V. Right. I got, yeah.
Yeah.
But as far as feel that I like Fender.
Okay. And how about other amplifiers or
Fender Mustangs? I got a half stack Marshall that I'm waiting to bring out for the summer.
Sure.
I'm
big
waiting.
Stages, yeah.
Yeah. I got a PV Bandit for the small gigs, but it's a bad boy.
Yeah.
And then I got the Mustang, the Fender Mustang now. I'll bring out every blue moon.
And you mentioned that you like the Delta stuff. You play acoustic as well?
Yeah. Just nothing too expensive. I got a little black Yamaha I play on, but as far as sliding on the strings, it's the same thing.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. Do you remember your very first guitar?
My very first guitar came, I say, around Christmas time. My mom's got it for me. It was a little blue toy guitar.
All right.
That came with the box amp with the clip that you put on your belt so you walk around the house cranking it up, man. I just be playing. I be making noise, man.
I'd be
rolling around the floor. I go, all the rock shows I go see. She got me the little Guitar Hero game, man. Yeah, man. Just everything. It had to do with guitar.
Right.
It was in my hand, man, ever since I was a kid. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It was in my hand. That's why it's so natural and easy now.
Sure. That's what you wanted to do, and you did.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. My first guitar was a cigar box with rubber bands and thumbtacks. Because I wanted
right,
to play.
Right.
Eventually, you know, I got the little Sears guitar, but... You know, my parents realized I was, you know,
that was time, right?
You know?
Right.
How about your singing and your approach to singing?
Singing, my mom and my dad sing, so it couldn't help for me to sing. I go to church. Mom sings in church; she's in the choir. I could say, and I listen to music. You know, I like Otis Rush. I like Otis Rush. I like Gary Clark singing. I like Marvin Gaye. A lot of different people I just pull from to get my technique. So, singing, I like singing.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of the best singers, it started in church.
Musicians, period.
Yeah.
They all started in church or had something to do with church.
Right,
you know
right.
Saying? So... Yeah,
and I think there's a lot of parallels between like gospel music and blues music and R&B.
Yes, sir.
A lot of the same chord structures.
Yes, sir.
You might be talking about a woman versus talking about the love of God.
Right.
So,
you're still going down 1-4-5.
Right. You know.
Uh huh.
You know. Still a love song.
Right.
Again, at your age, what is your reactions from your friends that you're playing blues, which sometimes people might think of as older music?
Okay. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I have two types of friends. I got musician friends and I have non-musician friends.
Right.
Musician friends, basically church musicians, some I play with. I got friends that has bands that I play in that do R&B, different types of music. And they know what blues is. They appreciate it. They know that they might label it as old people music, but at the same time, it can be updated like I did on my CD.
Yeah.
So, and then I have my friends that, you know, that's non-musicians, that, you know, that 100% old people music.
Yeah.
So, when I try to expose them to it some kind of way, then they're push and pull. They like guitar solos. They say, oh, you a rock star, all this and that. And I'm just like, no, I just like playing my guitar.
Yeah.
I like blues. You know what I'm saying? I like different types of music. And then they'll accept it. man.
But they almost have to see you do it just to understand.
Right, in person. And then one, I invited some of my friends to my shows, and they love it. I'm saying, why he ain't never bring me here before? I'm exposing to you now. This is blues music. Right, right. So if you like it, take it. If you don't, leave it.
And what about the reactions from, you talking about playing at some clubs? So you get a good reaction from, I know like in Chicago, there's some places that are more tourists, you know, so you get some people from out of town or you get some local people. I mean,
some people are like, who is this young boy in the club? You know what I'm saying? With the suit on, with the glasses on, you ready to play up here with the old cats, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, I don't pay too much mind to it. Sometimes it's amusing seeing their faces and reactions when I hit them high notes on guitar, like, oh, snap. But it's all part of the job.
Right.
I know it's coming. I know some people going to have their opinions. Some people, you know, just take it how it is. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it either way.
So are you in school too?
Yes, I just finished getting my associate's in music education and Gary to proceed to business and entrepreneurship type thing.
And have you seen any fruits of that? I mean, things that you're learning have been helpful in your career so far?
It's always been tied with each other.
Mm-hmm.
As far as music business and copyrights and publishing and all that,
right.
My pops is teaching me how to put my own copyrights and put my name on thing. Ownership,
yep.
Basically. I haven't got into it in school yet, but I plan to. So that's where I am at now. Learning the business.
There's a long history in the blues of guys not making money because of giving the publishing away and all that. So that's really smart.
Yes, sir.
And you know, some people say that's where the money is to be made.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
the copyrights and everything.
Well, and what are your thoughts about the record business now? I mean, it seems like I know you have a new record out, and I know that people still buy CDs, but you see that. Every year, the numbers going down about CD sales, and for a while, downloads were a way to make money. But now it seems more and more streaming. I mean, what are your thoughts about the future of the record business?
I mean, it's no telling what could happen.
Mm-hmm.
It could be all digital. It could be going back to vinyl.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It could be, since I'm an independent artist, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna sell you my CD. I'm not gonna go to a regular label and expect them to, you know.
Right.
So, I do have CDs on CD Baby. I do have them on iTunes. I do have them on Amazon. As far as sales, it happens.
Right.
So, I do try to sell as many CDs as I can when I'm at my shows.
Sure.
So it can actually be, you know, a direct type thing.
Yeah.
So
it also seems like these days more and more people discover music from YouTube, so there has to be a visual aspect of it.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people said you know, I watched this song, you know, before you listen to a song. But so do you have any plans, or have you done any sort of music videos?
That's something I've been thinking about, actually doing music videos for the new CD, because we never did anything for the old CD. We always had like live videos. I do have videos up on YouTube doing the live music and then the covers and everything. But as far as a page, that's something that would come in the future. As far as doing live music videos, doing just something, presenting myself as the Blue Superman Jamari Rogers.
I was going to say, I could see you on the top of the Hancock with the cape
and
your guitar.
That's something I would like to do and thinking about doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. On YouTube, that's just one source.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But online does play a big part.
Social media,
you know, that's all it is.
Yeah, I mean, more and more, that's how people are discovering the music. You know, where it used to be the radio, or it used to be
fan bases and everything. Yeah.
And do you have a good social network? I mean, do you have...
As far as Facebook, yeah, I'm pretty good.
Yeah. How about the website?
We're working on that.
Okay.
We're getting that together right now.
Excellent.
Hopefully be done by the summer.
Yeah. It seems that there's such a youth culture in media now. Mm-hmm. And I think that works in your advantage,
because
you're a young, up-and-coming star.
Yes, sir.
And, you know... are there any opportunities, or can you think about, you know, just like recording contract? You mentioned you could put in this record out by yourself. Do you think that this could be a stepping stone for a recording contract and a, you know, bigger and better things?
I mean, when somebody asks me what I think about this city, I'm saying it's going to get a Grammy. I think the city is good enough to get a Grammy.
Yeah.
That's why my mentality is about this city. It is my best so far. So I'm sure once it actually gets out into the world, some things will come back. Don't know what they are yet, but I'm sure it'll all be positive. We're not really looking for a recording contract, but it would be nice to have one. We like being independent, but at the same time,
I think there's advantages.
Right. That's all. Yeah. We'll be open to it. It's always the time to decide if you're going to do it, if you're not. But we're waiting on it. So,
this record's done, all wrapped up. I'm sure you're looking forward. Right?
Yes, sir.
Are there any thoughts about the next record?
It's going to be the best one then. You know what I'm saying? After that.
It's getting better.
Yeah. Keep updating myself with the blues. It's always going to be blues. That's why I'm keeping blues alive with what I'm doing. It might not always be all blues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to always put some funk. I'm going to always put some R&B. Always versatile with my genre. So, yeah.
I think that's important because and some bands want to stick to one genre. They want to sound like Muddy Waters in 1958.
Yep.
And that's cool, but I think
that limits yourself as an artist.
And you have a different perspective and different sets of influences.
Yes,
and I think the music needs to grow, and that's cool that you're you know, keeping that going.
Thank you.
Yeah. So why the blues?
Blues is very underrated. People don't know about it as much as they used to. I won't say people, but people in my generation for sure don't know about it as much as they should. It's a very important type of music. It's just like everybody else. Some people my generation like hip hop. You know what I'm saying? I listen to hip hop, but I'm not into hip hop type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it should be on the radio just as much as rock and funk and R&B and hip hop, because people listen to it, and
Chicago should have a blues,
especially Chicago,
24/7, right?
Especially Chicago, we have Chicago blues music.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I feel like that's what's missing from the music, technology, music industry as far as radio and then type thing. So
in some ways, you're kind of an ambassador.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
blues
sir.
Ambassador.
Yes, sir.
That's cool. People have different definitions of success. Mm-hmm. I think to a certain extent, you're successful right now. Right, you have a new record out and you're performing.
I'm on a good track.
But you're on a good track. What's your definition of success, or what are your musical goals? I like the Grammy. That's great.
That's number
one, right?
Hall of Fame be number two. I love to be around. Just when I can see myself around the people I looked up to, listening to every other day, and trying to I wouldn't say trying to get on any level, but you feel me? The people I listen to, the people I look up to, the Gary Clarks, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, the Bruno Mars, people that's doing what I want to do, that's actually making it. Not on the pedestal, but being able to be around, hit elbows with the same type of people.
Play the same stages.
Yeah. I want to eat too.
Talk about Gary Clark, and I think that's sort of a good model. It's similar to what you're doing, because he's definitely got a blues bass, but he'll do a reggae song, and he'll do a rock and roll number, and he'll do
an old school little bebop look. I like how he switches up and everything.
Yeah, and he's on a fast track. I think he's really up and coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be right behind him.
That's my plan. I'm on his tail.
What do you think 10 years from now, when you're an old man at age of 32, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Not Chicago.
No.
I wouldn't say that. I'll probably be in Chicago. I'm sure I would be playing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I'll be recording. I'm sure I'll be doing something good. A lot of accomplishments. I've been a lot of places. Passport would have been filled by then.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, yeah. That's a lot of good things, man.
If you had an opportunity to perform,
in the future, with different
artists, who would you like to collaborate with?
Gary Clark.
Okay,
that's number one, and then number two, this Kingfish. You ever heard of Kingfish?
Mm-hmm.
I love Kingfish. That's my brother. Okay. He's a monster guitar player. Other than him, just other blues guitars. I love blues. Jerika Singleton. Just different. Samantha Fish.
Yeah.
Just people on the blues scene. That's people I wanna hit elbows with.
Okay, that's cool that you're keeping it in the blues world. Mm-hmm. You know? How about if you were able to have dinner with someone who's deceased? Someone bring back someone.
I
want
a list
to
of
life.
People.
Just give
is this
me
number
one. Who's number one?
Man,
that is a hard question because I think about 10 right now.
Man, right. You got to find somebody you get some answers out of,
you know?
Man. I think I would stick to blues. I'd probably say Muddy Waters.
Cool.
Yeah.
I met Muddy a few times. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Great
guy.
I think he know a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Being through this lifetime full of music, what advice would you give to a young musician?
A young musician. Do your homework. Practice. Stay on top of your game because it's always somebody else coming after you. Learn your craft. Always find something to get better at. Have a team. Don't ever do anything by yourself. And that's just a couple bullet points.
That's great.
Lead your band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talk about being a band leader. I mean, is it difficult, especially when you're working with your father and you have to tell him that he missed the chord or something?
It's always that look. You ain't got that look. You hit that bad note, you get that bad look.
Right.
But I had a head start. That's when it came. If you as you learn as a child, you're gonna be brought up and you see it. That's when coming in to them open mics at La Rosa's,
mm-hmm.
with playing with Jimmy Jam and Biscuit,
right.
and Stan and, you know, Joseph and all the other people. I always saw how they communicated in the band. Like, we get ready to go here, go there and hit on the one. And then after that, I got my hands-on experience. I was playing drums behind Jimmy at a couple open mics, getting really hands-on type thing. And then how he led the band, how you got to watch his foot for the tempo, how you watch his, you know, guitar going down for mm-hmm. the beats and the drops, and watch out for the solo, you know what I'm saying? And then watch out, you going home in the song. It's always a different type of language on stage than it is, you know.
Sure.
Just, you know, when you talking on stage. You got to know what you're talking about. You got to know how to communicate. You got to know where you're going before you get there. All the time. So that's how you stay locked as a band and leading a band and everything.
All right. Well, what do you say we make some music?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Your toe, playing day and night in the hot and the cold. Walking
walking up the stairs, about to give you a buzz. Ready for you, baby, give me all of your love. So I took my key in my pocket so I can let myself inside to see what I saw. You know, I wouldn't tell you no lie. She was in some man's arms, nearly broke down and cried.